You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome in to a Friday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. Tonight, we have a game in Philadelphia against one of the most exciting teams in the league, the 76ers. And here to preview that game with me, I have the director of marketing from B-Ball Breakdown and the curator, founder, and podcast host of the Sixers Science Podcast, Eric Sidewater. Eric, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to get this W tonight. How are you?
I'm hoping that you don't get the W tonight, but I'm excited to watch my favorite team to watch. It's not the Pacers so far this year, the Philadelphia 76ers. The game is at, I believe, 7 o'clock in Philly. Is that correct? I should know that.
That is correct.
Okay, 7 o'clock in Philly. I don't know their arena name.
Wells Fargo Center.
The Wells Fargo Center, for those of you that would like to go. The 76ers so far this season have a record of 4-4, including some nice wins against the Rockets and the Atlanta Hawks, who they dominated, except it's not actually a good win. But anyway, what are your impressions of the team so far besides the dominance of the rookies?
Well, I think it's kind of what we expected. I'm not trying to, brag about our predictions, but if you listen to our podcast, I expected Simmons to get off to a hot start. I expected, Fultz to struggle. Obviously, he's injured, and we didn't really foresee him looking like Shaquille O'Neal at the free throw line. but I'm pretty encouraged. I think, the jury's still out for me on Brett Brown. He's shown some signs of opening up the playbook. The last 4 years, it's been very vanilla. I mean, obviously, because we were tanking. But now, you're starting to see a lot more creative sets, getting J.J. Redick in off-ball actions, getting creative and getting Embiid post-touches and even getting Simmons fed from Embiid. So, I'm encouraged. It's still very early in the season, and we're still depending on rookies, for a tremendous amount of our usage. So there's going to be hiccups along the way, but I'm going to be staying cautiously optimistic.
I'm glad you mentioned Brett Brown, because I think he's a really, really good player development coach, as you can kind of see by quite a few guys on the roster. But I'm not sure how good he is at coaching a winning roster to, a quality 45, 50 win season. Do you agree with that, or do you think, he's got something to prove this year?
I 100% agree with it. Pretty much, I see Brett Brown as a stopgap until you get a coach with championship pedigree. He was with the Spurs, but you don't really see a lot of his Spurs concepts migrating over to the Sixers. I think the strength of the Sixers really has been their general manager. We had Hinkie, who was perfect when we were trying to have cap maneuverability and we were trying to acquire assets, and he was perfect for that. And now Colangelo, I think he's better at bringing, that team to, the promised land. So I don't know. I don't necessarily think Brett Brown is the long-term solution at coach. I do agree that he is a good player development coach. But in terms of in-game, I still want to see a lot more before I'm ready to say I'm confident with him.
Yeah, I agree on all that. And I think that he's one of those coaches that, you're right, he was a super stopgap. And I think teams kind of get too excited about hiring guys from the Spurs system just because of how successful the Spurs have been. And I know it worked for the Hawks with Budenholzer, but, not always the best plan. And, Brown's been fine, but you're right. I think that eventually that he will be replaced in the near future as the Sixers go for a title. But he has done well with player development. And speaking of player development, my favorite player to watch in the entire league is on the 76ers right now. Ben Simmons just looks like he's going to be a stud for the next 15 years in the NBA. For those of you that haven't been keeping up right now, he's at 9.6 rebounds, 18.5 points, and 8 assists a game in his first ever 8 games. It's just unbelievable. How crazy has it been to watch him dominate so far?
It's amazing. I mean, I think Philadelphia has been begging for a superstar since Allen Iverson departed. Obviously, we saw a little bit of that with Joel Embiid. We still don't know if he's going to be able to play more than 50 games a season for his career. But I think with Simmons, we've got a bona fide star in the making. Maybe he's not there yet. His numbers suggest that he is there. But to give Simmons a little more context, on Sixer Science, we unveiled this new statistic called Kid Score. And basically what it is you're multiplying your possession adjusted rebounding and assist numbers together. And as you mentioned, Simmons is incredible in this department. And you just take the square root of that sum. So like players with a ton of rebounds and low assists or vice versa, they're penalized. It's better to be near the middle. And it's called the Kidd score because Jason Kidd had 16 seasons above 7 in this metric. So that means 7 rebounds, 7 assists are better. So Simmons is at an 8.57 right now, which registers as like one of the greatest rookie seasons of all time. And, you know, there's no signs of this slowing down. He's able to affect the game, you know, in almost every facet, whether it's in transition, setting up guys in the half court, getting to the basket, playing defense on the perimeter and rim protecting. The only thing he can't do is shoot. And, you know, we've seen he's the only wing player in the NBA over 10 points per game who hasn't hit a three-pointer. So I think eventually that may be a part of his game. And when he does that, watch out because it's going to be scary. Okay. He said multiple times his like new favorite quote now is in a few years, it's going to be fun. So he just keeps saying that. And, you know, I have ultimate confidence in him. And then pairing him with Embiid, I mean, that's like a match made in heaven. He's a perfect partner for the pick and roll. And now you can even run it both ways because they're so skilled. So I'm very excited about Simmons, and he's, you know, even more than what we could have hoped for.
Yeah, in the offseason when all those people were tweeting those very broad questions of like, what are you most excited for this season? I answered one with Ben Simmons because I was really excited to watch him. And for a lot of guys like him, and I don't want to compare them as players, but they have the same kind of mantra, like Lonzo Ball and LeBron and Steve Nash, those guys who just like are really good passers and they see the court in a different way. That IQ carries over to every other facet of the game, right? And that's what makes Simmons so good. Like he can know what other people are doing two steps ahead of him, and it lets him get to the rim, and it makes him better on defense, even though he's not actually the best quote unquote defender yet. I mean, he will be one day, definitely, with his athleticism, but it's just stuff like that that makes him so exciting to watch. And you nailed it too with that, the wing shooting thing. He hasn't made a three, he's only attempted 5, but he's struggling from the free throw line too, but it just doesn't matter because he shoots 56% from the field and just gets to the rim and puts the ball in the hoop and is just a very effective player still. His effective field goal percentage is still 53, still an efficient player, and he's just been unbelievable so far.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the fact that being a cerebral player, you know, it manifests itself in the passing game, but also in things like defense, reading coverages, being quick to react. And that was one of my bold predictions. For the season, I think each member of the Sixers science team like made one of their bold predictions, and mine was Simmons would be top 20 in deflections. And, you know, he's deflecting a lot of balls. He might be close to the top 20 right now. I mean, the hustle stats are just being generated now. But the funny thing is he's actually converting a lot of those tips into steals, like tipping the ball up and just jumping up and grabbing it himself. So, you know, him actually getting too many steals might be the reason the undoing from my prediction. But you know, it is completely true that the his intelligence carries over into all facets of the game, except for figuring out how to shoot free throws. I would like to personally teach him how to do it. I've sent him pictures on Twitter, I've sent emails to the shooting coach, we went back and forth. I mean, I really genuinely believe I could fix this free throw for him. And whatever he's doing, it's absolutely horrible. I can't imagine him shooting over 65% with it. So that's my one gripe with him so far.
Yeah, him and Markel both at the line, but you already talked about the Shaqness of Markel. But yeah, you said the steals. The Sixers are 8th in the league in steals, which for young teams, exactly what you want to be. But unfortunately, they're last in turnovers, I believe. 28th now. Okay, so they've surpassed two teams in turnovers, which is nice. But again, they're a young team, so these are the things you kind of expect. With Joel Embiid, we haven't really touched on him beyond just that him and Simmons play well together. He's also been awesome. I don't have his stats pulled up in front of me, but I know he's just been a monster on defense and stretching the floor out and just being a modern center and being absolutely amazing. What have you liked about him so far this year?
Well, I think he's shown a better ability on the defensive glass. You know, a lot of times, whether he was trying to go for the block and then was leaving a vulnerable position for an offensive rebound last year, or just not having the awareness to go up for the board, I think he's remedied that problem this year, and you're seeing that reflected in the rebounding numbers. The one problem that still remains from last year is that, you know, when he catches it in the high post or he goes to face up, a lot of times he does a rip through move where he keeps it right at hip level. And it's so easily stolen by his defender or another guy who's cheating down in the paint. And a lot of times he'll get blindsided and they'll steal it from him. And he had that problem last year, and I see it this year. But as we've seen with Embiid many times over, he will correct things game to game. He doesn't need an offseason to do some of these things. It could be the next week he's fixed the problem. Obviously, his three-point shooting has been poor so far this season. He pretty much only likes the top of the key three. But I think eventually, you know, that'll come. He's still set on the record saying he doesn't have his legs yet. So, you know, by 3-4 weeks in the season, I'm sure he'll have his wind, and, you know, that's going to help with his outside shot. But his blocks are down. So those are a few issues that are still remaining. But I'm still encouraged because we're seeing the player that he was last January, which was incredible, rather than that just being, you know, a small sample of great play. It's actually true that he's, you know, probably one of the top 20 players in the NBA.
Yeah, worth every penny of that contract he got this offseason. I think it's hilarious that people think he's not. But anyway, more about this game in particular, the matchup between the two teams, I think, is obviously what we're here to break down. Victor Oladipo has been, not even surprisingly, has just been absolutely dominant for the Pacers so far this year. And I know the Sixers are last in the league in fouls, which is something kind of random. Do you think Oladipo could have a nice game if he's able to get to the rim and draw some fouls and, you know, maybe keep Embiid's minutes down and get to the line more? Because he's over 80% from the line this year. So
definitely. I think he should be the number one guy you're game planning for. The Sixers have struggled with the quick guards so far in the season. J.J. Redick, Jared Bayless, they're just not able to get the job done. They just don't have the lateral quickness. A guy like Dennis Schroeder was exploiting us time and time again, just getting right to the basket for layups. And Oladipo, we've probably seen him even increase his athleticism this year. He looks like a blur down the court. So I do think that is the area which the Sixers can get exploited. We've actually seen him shoot threes a lot better as well. So, you know, he's a big concern. And I think, you know, the Sixers are definitely going to explore putting Covington on him at times. You know, he's not going
to ask that. So,
yeah, I think it's the Sixers are not upset when they're switching in the half court because a lot of their guys can play inside and outside. But if you're just having, you know, Jared Bayless try to guard a guy at the top of the key with a pick and roll, you're going to lose that battle more times than not, especially when Embiid is not the anchor in the paint. So I do think, you know, Oladipo is a candidate, 25-30 points tonight.
Yeah, I think he could have a good game. This is a question I didn't put on our thing, but I just want to ask you. It's kind of easy. Is J.J. Redick going to play? Is he looking like he's going to be back, or is it going to be another Dario Saric start?
Yeah, sorry, I meant tomorrow night. J.J. Redick, he should play. I think they kind of were just doing a precautionary thing. You know, he's around 33 years old now, so he's going to get those healthy scratch games. But he should play. Did you ask about another player?
I just – is Saric going to start if he doesn't? But if he's going to start, then that question is moot.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, in under normal circumstances, Saric would start. But I think they might be done with that experiment because it's went horribly. So I, you know, Redick should be back, but if he's not, I wouldn't be surprised to even see Saric come off the bench. You know, one of the main reasons they don't want to do that is because Saric, before the season even started, was vocal about saying, I'm a much better player when I start the game. The coaches should take note. And I was like, you're a second year player. Like, what are you making these bold assertions that, and he was not going to start at that point. Everyone knew for 5 or 6 months that he wasn't going to start. So I just think, you know, Saric has struggled mightily. And you know, he's not going to get many more starts this year.
Yeah. This is kind of off topic, but I kind of was hoping that the Sixers would trade Saric this offseason, cause I think that's his value is at an all time high, especially after finishing second in the Rookie of the Year voting. But anyway, back to this game. Another matchup I think the Pacers can exploit is Darren Collison and Jared Bayless matching up against each other. Jared Bayless is a pretty good shooter. I think he's over 45% from three so far this year, albeit on a very small sample. But Jared Bayless is not the best defender, and I know he had a lot of wrist injuries last year, and he's getting up there in age. And I think he just kind of starts because he fits really well because of that shooting. But I think Collison's been so good this year, beating guys and setting guys up with shots and scoring himself, that I think he could have a nice game guarded by Bayless. Do you agree?
Yeah, I've always been a fan of Darren Collison. You know, he's kind of that easygoing, you know, slow pace kind of point guard. You know, he's not really scoring in bunches, although he did go for over 20 against the Cavs. So I think he definitely could have success against Bayless, because Bayless reminds me of a player on the Cavs in terms of his defense. You know, he's just brought in there to hit threes. He can't play a lick of defense. And, you know, Collison's the type of guy when, you know, he's not going to shoot a ton, but if he knows that he has the advantage, he's going to exploit that.
Yeah, I look forward to that. But, of course, we have to talk about what the Sixers could do to exploit the Pacers. And the Pacers, for all how fast they've been playing, they still haven't been the best on defense. They're 24th in blocks they're 20th in blocks this year. They still foul a lot and turn it over a fair bit. And they just haven't been the best at stopping guys at the point of attack. And, of course, I think Ben Simmons is the best candidate to destroy them. But with him and Embiid, I think they both could have a good game. Do you have anyone besides the obvious two candidates you think could have a good game? I have one in mind, but I'll let you go first.
Yeah, before I ask that, I have a question. Did you guys exchange a good Bogdanovich for a medium Bogdanovich?
I don't know how much you listen to us, but Bojan is my favorite player on the team. I thought he really, well, first of all, I loved him last year in Washington, and I just thought he really fit what they were trying to do, which is just get Turner post touches and let him create kind of from the wing and stuff like that. And he just spaces the floor really well, and he shot 48% for the whole season last year from the corners. Like, he just seemed like the perfect guy to fit in. But then this year, like you just said, he has been a light version of Amon Self. He has not been shooting as well. He's had two good games. He played really well against Minnesota, and he played pretty good against Sacramento, but everyone plays well against Sacramento, so I'm not going to count that one. But yeah, he's been struggling from deep, which is really his mantra. So it's been really, really unfortunate to see, because with a guy like Covington, who's going to shut him down getting to the rim, if his only thing is shooting, they don't even have to put Covington on him. So it's going to be a challenge for him in this one.
Yeah, that was actually my candidate. I mean, if they're putting Bogdanovich on Covington, you know, that's, to me, is like a recipe for disaster, because Covington, he's already had two of the hottest shooting nights of his career just in the eight games. So I think, you know, he's definitely going to thrive in that matchup. Bojan hasn't, to me, shown any ability to play defense, especially like on the back cuts. That's where, you know, where Covington will thrive. He's always going to just take contested threes and expect to see at least four or five Covington contested threes tonight. But he also has a penchant for making timely back cuts. So expect Simmons to hit him on at least like two or three of those while Bojan is sleeping. And then he'll get taken out of the game. And then Thad Young versus Ben Simmons. I just think that's such an interesting matchup. You know, obviously they're both left-handers. But the interesting thing is Simmons only uses his right hand. And you'll notice this, I guarantee, out of all the shots he takes, free throws included, 80% will be right-handed. But Thad Young, he only uses his left hand. You know, so it's such a funny thing. Two enigmatic players. Presumably, they'll get matched up a good amount in this game. And I think it'll be interesting. I think they actually are both crafty in their own rights.
I like Thad Young in this game because he's a veteran who's very steady and he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's just kind of okay at a lot of things. And against a team that commits a lot of turnovers like Philly, I thought he, you know, had at least a chance to have a good game. But he'll be kind of tied up guarding Simmons the whole night, so who knows how true that'll be. You picked the guy I was going to pick for Philly to have a good game, which is Covington. It's always a safe bet to pick the guy who Bojan's going to guard. But I also love Robert Covington. 48% from three so far this year. He locks down whoever's guarding him. He had a really awesome game against the Wizards on opening night that I watched, and he's about to be a rich man. I don't remember when he's extension eligible, but I believe it's in 14 days from now, maybe 13, so be on the lookout for that. But it's not really a surprise anymore, but it's going to be awesome. Another guy who I think maybe won't have a great game, but it's going to be worth watching, is Amir Johnson, because Domantas Sabonis has been so surprising and successful this season. I think Amir's going to have his hands full off the bench containing him, and I think that could be a fun matchup to watch.
Yeah, Amir Johnson, he had about his 37th sprained ankle to start the season. And, you know, that was showing its ill effects in the beginning of the year. I mean, pretty much for the first three or four games of the season, he looked like a corpse. He wasn't able to jump, you know, even over a jump rope more than 1 inch off the ground. And he was hitting 20% of his shots. But then, like, magically over the last like two and a half games, he's like shown this new springiness. It's like his ankle healed overnight. And, you know, he's skying up for rebounds. He's boxing out now. He's hitting his layups and putbacks in the paint. He's even got a block or two. So, you know, I think we're seeing the Amir Johnson we saw in the Celtics last 2 years, who in the minutes he played was really productive. So I think, you know, Amir Johnson versus Sabonis, that is a tough matchup because we know Amir has limited mobility and we know Sabonis is a young pup. So, and he can exploit him from the outside because, you know, a lot of times Amir Johnson, he doesn't want to venture, you know, outside 15 feet. And that's where Sabonis can kill you. I also think it's funny, Sabonis, he does seem to be kind of volatile. He had a game where he was like 1 for 9 and then 9 for 9. Is that correct?
Yeah, he did. But I attribute the 1 for 9 game to playing in Chesapeake Energy Arena. He just apparently stinks in the Thunder's arena.
Yeah, I'm sure that his nerves didn't get to him.
Yeah, so it was funny. Before last night's game, we're recording this on Thursday, before last night's game against the Cavs, he, in their three wins, he hadn't missed a shot. And then he finally missed in a win last night, but he only missed once. So he's 28 for 29 in Pacers wins so far this season.
What?
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, he's been awesome.
How did I not know that? Wow. I'm like supposed to be a stat guy. That's crazy.
Yeah, he's been really nice, and he's finally hitting the glass. He's averaging a double-double. But a lot of that has to do with Miles Turner not playing and him being the starter. And Friday could be the game Miles Turner returns, which – if he plays, it'll be awesome to see him matched up against Joel Embiid, but I'm fairly confident he'll be on a minutes restriction due to neck stiffness and just missing 2 weeks of basketball. So I'm not super enthused by that matchup for the Pacers' favor, and I think Embiid's due to have a good game anyway, but especially if Turner's on a minutes restriction.
Yeah, yeah. I keep thinking about the Paul George trade. You know, it's funny. I actually did a breakdown of – we did a breakdown of the Paul George trade, and I think I was one of the people who's defending it. And, you know, I think the Thunder are going to end up losing because they're clearly not going to win a championship this year, and then Paul George is going to move on. So how do you walk away without draft picks? And wasn't it rumored that there was a better deal on the table like a week before too?
Yeah, of course, it's like the Celtics rumors flying around, so who actually knows? But the rumor was that it's from the Celtics, and then I think the confirmed other offer was pick 13 and Gary Harris in a Kevin Love three-way deal.
Okay. All right, wait, should we get to our predictions for this game? I don't want to get off track too much.
Yeah, I would love to do that, but I also just realized how many former Sixers are on the Pacers. Thaddeus Young, Glenn Robinson, Damian Wilkins, and Alex Poitras all have Sixers ties.
Yeah, wow, those sound like D-League contracts.
Yeah, Glenn Robinson's been good. Unfortunately, he's hurt. But yeah, let's get to the B-ball breakdown, the Sixers science, the Liberty Baller sponsored Eric Sidewater score prediction for tonight's game.
So first, I want to plug myself saying that I predicted an 11-point margin victory for the Sixers against the Hawks, and it was 10. My bad. I forgot about that last free throw. So, you know, both teams are coming into this game with three-game win streaks. But so I think, you know, home is going to give the Sixers the advantage that pushes them over the top. Miles Turner not going to play? I don't think we have a definite answer on this yet.
I don't either. I think this is it's either going to be this one or Sunday, I think he returns in, but I don't know which one, and I don't know why it would be one or the other, so I can't say really anything. I can't help.
Okay. Well, either way, I have 109 to 108 Sixers win by one.
Well, I predicted 105-103 on our weekly pod before it started. I think it's going to be close to – if Turner plays, especially, if not, it could be a little farther apart than that. But who knows with how well both of these teams have been playing recently. Before the season started, I would have said fully healthy, the Sixers are slightly better. And it feels like they're going to be fully healthy besides Fultz in this game. So I think they do have a slight edge, even though I think possibly by the end of the year, depending on injuries, these teams could be close in the hierarchy. But who really knows? This is going to be a really good one because I think these two teams are very even and have had pretty similar seasons so far. You working on anything fun this week you want to plug?
Yeah, so I'm covering about 12 Sixers home games this year. And my first story is going to be about each Sixers players, the history of their jump shot. So how'd they get their form? Have they worked on it? Do they have specific plans for how they want to sculpt it in the future? I know because this is specifically relevant to a team that has so many players who've drastically changed their form or can't shoot at all right now. And, you know, a guy like Ben Simmons, he's shooting, you know, with his non-dominant hand. Markelle Fultz has the most bizarre form after being completely wet from mid-range, you know, due to a shoulder injury. Joel Embiid is on the record saying he learned how to shoot on YouTube, not from our professional shooting coach, John Townsend. We have the greatest three-point shooter, arguably, you know, catch-and-shoot guy in the history of the NBA, J.J. Redick, on our roster. Why can't he, you know, coach these guys up? So that's going to be my first story about shooting. So I'm kind of putting together the template for all that and figuring out, you know, exactly what questions I want to ask the guys and who I want to ask.
That's really cool. That's a unique idea. I want to read that. You'll have to send it to me when that comes out. I'm very intrigued by that. Where can everybody follow you and all your work?
Sure. So if you go on Twitter, I'm at Sixers Science. That's one word. We also have a website, SixersScience.com. That's with one or two S's in the middle. It doesn't matter. And then I also post game previews to Twitter and Liberty Ballers. And I will be posting to the main page soon. And then always subscribe to the B-Ball Breakdown YouTube. We have a lot of great videos coming out. And, you know, maybe I'll even put in a good word to try to get a Pacers video soon.
Hey, that's what I like to hear. Yeah, B-Ball Breakdown's awesome. You guys should really follow into that. And I know on Sixer Science, there was a Miles Turner breakdown at one point that was absolutely spectacular. So absolutely check that out if you haven't read it yet. You got anything you still want to say before we go?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to plug that Miles Turner breakdown I did. You know, I went into him. I always liked him, even, you know, when he was at Texas, even before that, in AAU ball. So, you know, maybe I went in with rose colored glasses, but he did not let me down. I think he looks wonderful. It looks like he's even improved a lot since last year, even though what, he only played one or two games.
Yeah, so far he's only at one game.
Yeah, so I'm confident that he's going to come back and look like a borderline all-star. So, you know, and he has an absolutely pretty jump shot. So I wish him the best of luck.
I do too. Eric, thanks so much for coming on. Everybody, be sure to follow him and all his work on Twitter. It's very cool. One of my favorite follows by far. As always, you can follow me at TEastNBA and this podcast at Locked On Pacers. If you want to yell at me for saying something wrong, email me at lopacers@gmail.com. And we will see you tomorrow with a preview of the Knicks game and a review of this game. Thanks so much for tuning in and have a great Friday.